Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
We have a lot.
Yes. So
to get through.
Buckle in. This is going to be probably a long one.
I mean, it's the week before WrestleMania.
Right.
So, like, that's not a huge surprise because we obviously have.
So, clearly, like, that's the time when everything happens.
Yes. But we have to start out with not WWE, but something that WWE didn't produce this week.
Right. And not even an independent wrestling organization or anything like that. Right. We're talking about the piece that John Oliver did on Last Week Tonight.
Yes.
On HBO this past week. Talking a lot about the need for a wrestler union and some of the misdeeds of WWE's past.
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack here, and I'll try and do it in a somewhat organized manner. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, watching it, and he's mentioned WWE before, specifically the Crown Jewel mm-hmm. and working in Saudi Arabia. But if you don't watch Last Week Tonight, he usually will do some new stuff, some quick stuff, and then spend about 20 minutes on one specific subject.
Right.
And this specific subject this week was WWE, specifically how they treat their wrestlers.
Yeah.
Things like no off-season, things like the fact that they're all technically independent contractors.
Even though they, nothing that they do is, you know, falls under the independent contractor definition.
So, yeah. So this is, so watching it, and I've watched it twice. I think you watched it twice.
Yeah.
It's very complicated.
It is.
There were so many like, yes, but, or yes, and also, or yes, but you could have gone this way. And so like, which is, it's the kind of thing where, like, I know that's true.
Sure. He takes,
you know, uniquely difficult topics and summarizes them in 20 minutes. Like,
right. And I don't
believe it's a little bit of a bummer because, like, now I know that all of his stuff is like that. Like, whoever is really into, like, the coal industry probably has a lot of, like, yes, but, and technically this.
And so, in this, for the sake of full transparency, I would say, like, of all the specific examples that he used, I don't think anything happened beyond beginning of 2014, because I think the CM Punk thing was
the most recent thing
that's happened.
Yeah.
And so one could say that, you know, WWE may have made strides because, you know, you saw the whole, like, how they treated the whole Daniel Bryan thing and him medically. But, of course, I'm assuming he probably had to pay for all that stuff himself.
Right.
And except for, you know, WWE has their specific doctors. We just don't know the breakdown of who pays what.
Right.
And whenever I think they brought up a specific contract, and that was dated from 2010.
Okay. So this does feel like there's a lot to unpack here and a lot of, like, two sides to every story here, genuinely.
Because WWE did dispute pretty much every claim.
Yes.
And I'm assuming, like, hey, we fixed things since then.
And so I will say, I don't think there was anything in there that I wasn't aware of. I don't think there was anything.
No.
And so, a few things that I appreciate. One, John Oliver clearly very much likes wrestling.
Yes.
And he's spending a lot of time defending it as a worthwhile form of entertainment.
Like, honestly, like, even showing, like, all the times that the Mr. McMahon character has gotten his comeuppance is, like, still trying to, like, defend it.
Right.
To an extent, like,
he has a line in there where he says, wrestling is better than the things you like.
Yeah.
Which it is, it makes it an easier pill to swallow coming from, I mean, because so many things he says, I agree with.
Yeah.
And we all have this, you know, kind of feeling of, you know, it's the thing where, like, if this is so bad, why do you watch it? Why do you support it?
Right.
And it's complicated.
It's complicated, you know.
And I do like that he acknowledged it's complicated. It's this great, fantastic thing that happens to be largely monopolized by this one company that is specifically run almost exclusively by this one man.
Right. And I would say that pretty much anyone involved in this debate, in this argument, is coming from the standpoint of nobody's trying to kill wrestling. No one's trying to kill the business. Everyone is doing this basically out of the concern for the well-being of wrestlers long after their WWE time has passed.
Yes. And I will say, I mean, I don't think anybody listening to this is like, boo, you shouldn't support wrestling. That's
right.
It's a weird way to spend your evening if you're like, listen to this wrestling podcast to hate it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like most things you like are also problematic.
Mm-hmm.
There is this issue with, like, yay, Disney is getting the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. They have all of Marvel. There's also thousands of people losing their jobs.
Yes.
You know, there's the Chick-fil-A thing is an obvious thing where it's like, you know,
depending on what side of the political spectrum you're on.
Well,
yeah.
And like, you know, if I am going there, am I supporting this or am I just supporting delicious sandwiches? I mean, if you want to go as far as like a certain, you know, Tom Cruise gets a certain percent of the upfront grosses of every Mission Impossible movie. That's part of his deal.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise also pays, you know, not taxes. He pays donations to Scientology. So if you bought a ticket to, you know, any Mission Impossible movie,
in a roundabout way,
since number three, you are giving money to Scientology, at least some.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying don't watch Disney,
don't watch Tom Cruise.
Yes. Like, these are all personal lines to draw.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt to be aware of the fact that this company that we're going to talk about for an hour plus now, and we're going to spend all of our weekend watching, does have these problems.
So in WWE's response, I already said that they, you know, they had been talking to the producers of the show before, long before the episode aired, presumably trying to get comments from the company.
Yeah.
And WWE said, you know, that they disputed every claim that made, and they called it a one-sided piece, and then invited John Oliver to WrestleMania to come learn more about the company.
Yes.
I don't think learning about the company is the problem here. It sounds like he knows, at least, you know, from 2014 and earlier, he knows that part of the company. Now, he may not be as aware of what's going on currently, probably because those wrestlers aren't going to be speaking out. Like, Miz went on an interview today and very much, you know, do you really think Miz is going to step out of line as far as, like, what the corporate office wanted him to say? Like,
right.
He said pretty much exactly what the office probably wanted him to say.
I will say, things in WWE's defense, you brought up already, most of these guys who are dying early were also guys who wrestled in the 80s.
Sure.
There's guys who are, it's not necessarily unsafe work conditions. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are dying from drug complications.
Drug complications or just not having money to pay for their medical care.
Right. You know? And, you know, obviously there is this argument of like, well, the, you know, environment that they were in basically is what allowed for that. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think anybody can look at the locker room of the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. And one could say that WWE has taken care of many wrestlers who had drug and alcohol problems. They, you know, paid for a few guys that I can remember. They paid their rehab to get them clean. Like the Hardy, like at least Matt Hardy, I don't know about Jeff, but at least Matt Hardy and a few others, their rehab visits were paid for by WWE. And that was when they were like still in TNA.
Yeah. I mean, and there's things worth pointing out. They brought up Jake the Snake Roberts specifically as one of their examples of fans having to pay for.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, because I forgot what, it was a shoulder surgery or.
Yeah, it was a surgery.
Yeah, I don't know if WWE is going to pay for a shoulder surgery.
No, but they have paid for him to go to rehab at least twice.
Right.
And, but, you know, in all fairness, if you're watching Last Week Tonight, they did maybe 4 or 5 months ago, somewhere last season, they did a segment on, you know, drug rehab facilities and how inherently flawed they are.
Right.
So if WWE is paying for these, you know,
it's a slippery slope. Yeah. WWE could have all the good intention, but, you know, if there's a flaw in the rehab's, you know, system or cycle or whatever, that's not necessarily WWE's fault.
It's not WWE's fault.
They're doing it out of the interest of this wrestler's well-being. So it is a very tricky and difficult situation to navigate. And it's pretty much like most sides are valid at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there is some point to WWE has, I think there is a thing in NXT, like a class in NXT about how to manage your money. So you don't have to be wrestling at 50, 55 on a regular basis just to make ends meet.
Yeah, clearly they have been making strides in correcting past mistakes, at least giving wrestlers as many tools as they can.
Yeah.
Now, you know, to a certain extent, personal responsibility has come in.
There absolutely
but that
is that.
There doesn't really have an excuse for why these wrestlers don't have any sort of insurance.
Well, no, absolutely.
That's the one line in the sand I'll draw.
There is also things like, you know, they talk about the being pressured to get back in the ring quickly before they're fully healed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that there is some personal responsibility on there. There's also WWE puts on a show a week. So, like, if somebody gets injured, it's hard to hold your spot.
Yeah.
And you see something, like, going on right now. Mm-hmm. Mustafa Ali got injured.
Yeah.
And now his spot is probably going to go and win the WWE championship.
Eh, we'll make picks later. But I understand what the point you're making.
But, like, it's hard to see something like that.
Yeah.
And then say, but I'm going to wait till I'm fully healed.
Right.
And I understand that. And so really this brings us to the CM Punk thing, because that is the most
recent. That comes down to the nature of the beast with a system with no off season, and you're putting on a show every week. Someone gets injured, you have to find a way to continue things without that person.
Right.
And yeah, their spot might get taken. There's no, like, that's just the nature of not having a week off for the TV
show.
Well,
and I think everybody who has, you know, ever voiced a strong opinion, who has done any research into this, mm-hmm. feels like there should be an off season. There should be a rotating yeah. cast.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want everybody available from mm-hmm. Rumble to Mania, that's great. And then you split it up. Somebody's, you know, you have half the people on for the next 4 months mm-hmm. going into SummerSlam. And then SummerSlam to Survivor Series, you have the different.
Because they really have reached the point where they can do that just from roster size.
Oh, they absolutely yeah. can. And
you can always make it optional. If someone wants to work longer, then
see, I think if you say that, then people are going to work longer.
Right.
Then they should
save their spot or continue their championship reign or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody, unless you're Brock Lesnar, who will yeah. happily take the time off, but everybody who you think about, so many people who were like pressing their face against that glass ceiling,
yep.
ready to bust into the main event. You have your Kevin Owens, you have your, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, you have your Rusev,
mm-hmm.
and you look at where all of these people are on this WrestleMania, which is like in a tag team, not on the show, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the Rumble somewhere. Braun Strowman's another great example.
Yeah.
All these guys seemed like they were within 6 months mm-hmm. of being a permanent rotating member of the main event.
Yeah.
Until they retired, and now they're all not.
Yeah.
And so when you have a situation like that, I can understand how you're going to work through your injuries. You're going to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of force that through. And I don't have a solution to that other than WWE saying, sorry, these are your 4 months. You need to take this off.
Yeah.
And that is on WWE to force that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So the thing with CM Punk, because the CM Punk thing is the most recent thing
yeah.
that they covered.
Mm-hmm.
It is very interesting that CM Punk happened around, you know, within a year of Daniel Bryan happening.
Yeah.
And the same company pushing one guy mm-hmm. well past what he can do and holding the other guy back.
Right.
And I know that their injuries were different, but does it come down to, like, did they just see CM Punk as a more valuable commodity than Daniel Bryan
mm-hmm.
that they were pushing him? Is it a fear of that specific injury that Daniel Bryan had?
Yeah, I'm assuming
combination of several things.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the severity of the injury, because, I mean, you know, Daniel Bryan, he initially took time off because of, like, the nerve in his mm-hmm. neck and everything like that, on top of concussions and everything. And then it was, almost a year later is when he actually retired.
Yeah.
And that was when, you know, they found the lesions on his brain scans. And, you know, they're like, you need to retire right now. And
then, obviously,
they didn't fully know what those lesions meant and if they were treatable or whatever. And here we are today. So I feel like it was the severity of the situation. Now, you know, WWE now treats concussions way more seriously than they did even when CM Punk was in that situation.
I think it can come down some level to something like John Cena is a genetic freak show of a human.
Yeah.
John Cena has the genes that have lined up in the correct order that he probably can, you know,
but
he can take a year injury recovery time and cram it into 4 months and make it.
Right. But at that same time, though, all those times that he came back earlier than expected, did he really recover that quickly, or did he just come back sooner than he probably should have and was just able to pull it off?
I think it's very possible and likely that he has come back sooner than he should have.
Because like, there have been stories in the past of how protective Cena was with his spot, you know, in his you know, heyday.
Yeah. But I also think Cena has the genetic code to be able to come back sooner than he should and be okay and to heal better and faster than the average person.
He's also making a lot more money and probably can afford...
He can afford the right doctors, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you compare that to somebody like CM Punk. Again, you can dig through this podcast and hear me say wonderful things about CM Punk all day long. CM Punk is not an athletically gifted person.
No.
He is one of the best wrestlers of all time. Mm-hmm. Through sheer determination. There's very little talent there. It's all skill that's been cultivated out of determination.
And he as well, you know, there, especially towards those last few years, was making plenty of money and being very smart with it.
Well,
so he could have also had access to, you know, the doctors that John Cena probably had.
Well, I'm saying that CM Punk genetically is not John Cena genetically.
Sure.
And so to say, like, people, these wrestlers should be able to come back in 4 months when the real thing is 12 months, that can wear down someone like CM Punk in a way that it doesn't wear down John Cena.
It will absolutely vary from case to case.
But I think it is very good that this is out in the world.
Yes.
I
like that it's pushed to the forefront of the wrestling community as well.
Yes.
Like, it's pushed to the forefront of everyone's consciousness.
A few things I do want to quibble with because they're there and sorry, but some minor things. One, he pulled up some footage from Wrestling with Shadows, the Bret Hart documentary about, and it was kind of implied that this was Bret talking about Vince, and it was, but it was really Bret talking about the wrestling industry as a whole.
Right.
Specifically because Bret, he has gone back. He has wrestled for and with Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. And after that clip, John Oliver, you know, linked that to he's very upset because, you know, his brother died wrestling for Vince when that
happened like a year or so later.
Yes, Owen Hart died in 99 and that footage was from 1998.
Right.
There's also, I'm trying to remember, there was a few other things I was like, one of them is the whole, fans have amazing sway here.
Has amazing sway when they have access to whoever's advertising.
Yeah, that.
And that, honestly, I'm surprised he did not bring up that situation.
I am surprised he did not bring up the Snickers situation.
Yeah.
That's a very yes and no situation.
Speaking of, I'm very disappointed they didn't change that women's trophy. It's still the uterus cup.
Yes, I know. That's a very yes and no situation with fans have this ability.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Right. And then he used that clip of Roman from after WrestleMania 33, I believe, after the Undertaker match.
After the Undertaker, yeah.
He used that clip on like them booing and everything. Like, oh, look how strong their voice is. That did nothing to sway the mind of Vince McMahon. When it comes to Roman, you know, obviously pre-leukemia, when it comes to Roman, there was nothing the fans could do to sway Vince's mind.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing.
It was a great 8 minutes. It was a very cathartic 8 minutes to watch. I enjoyed it the whole time watching it back then.
Yeah, because I felt similar to those fans.
Yeah, but nothing happened.
No, absolutely nothing happened.
And he also used the Give Divas a Chance saga as another example. Mm-hmm. And like he said, like, Vince tweeted, we hear you keep watching it. And I was like, Vince didn't tweet that.
He didn't tweet that, and or that was done just to placate. You're like, that was not done. Like, okay, we hear you. We're going to do something about it. No. That was, All right, let them think that they're heard.
I will say, fans aren't, you know, silent. Fans aren't helpless. Right. There is a way to move the needle, and they do. And I think better examples are things like JBL is a giant monster.
Right.
And
the fans would not let that go.
Yes. That's kind of a better example. Cheering at WrestleMania is a lot harder. I think if Monday night after WrestleMania, if that crowd wanted to spend 8 minutes chanting for healthcare and off seasons,
right,
that would go a lot further than...
See, you're right, yes. Because they are in a closed arena, and it's easier to make out what the crowd is saying.
And but that crowd is also the crazy crowd.
And that's where I'm going, because WWE has found a way to cut their feet from underneath them, because they every year for like the last 3 years, first thing the commentators say is like, oh, it's you know, it's crazy. See, like, you know, they're cheering, they're just having fun. You know, they might cheer for the people that they're not supposed to, or boo who people that everyone else likes.
I know they say that, but nobody believes that.
Sure.
Like, that's just the end is nigh on the sidewalk. Like,
sure.
Fine. It's stupid that they do it. I don't like that they do it. Mm-hmm. But it's helpless to do it. That's the same
mindset as kind of plugging, you know, Vince plugging his ear and not listening to the fans when they boo Roman.
Right.
You know?
But
it's that same mindset. Like, they can do whatever they want. I ain't changing nothing.
Yeah. And that's why I would a little bit turn it back to you, John Oliver. Where it's like, yes, we will, you know, we want mm-hmm. to change this. But John Oliver, who has a platform of a yeah. TV show and millions mm-hmm. of views, has sway that we don't have.
Yeah.
If Give Divas a Chance had mm-hmm. never gone beyond people whining on Twitter, it would not have happened.
No.
It picking up mainstream attention.
It took... Yeah, it was really Twitter, but it was because people were constantly, days on, weeks on end, mm-hmm. you know, constantly bringing it to the forefront of everyone's mind, you know. That's what it takes for WWE to actually do something about the problems is persistence.
And they did not do it because it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And you will never convince me that WWE had a morality moment of reckoning. I was like, we need to do this.
They saw the large number of people saying something, and they saw a market.
It was a political move. It was a, you know, mm-hmm. make us look good move. It was either like, this, we can make more money than we previously thought over here, mm-hmm. or we need to look good as a company. And it comes down to, if there was ever a moment for a yes chant, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and that's fine. Like, if you need to shame people into doing the right thing, at the end of the day, they're still doing the right thing.
Right, like, ultimately, who cares how we got there? How we got there, who's taking the credit, whatever. The right thing has been done.
Yeah.
And honestly, and that's how I feel about the healthcare situation. Like, I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care how they spin it or whatever. As long as it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And they just sold 2 of their shows for $1 billion each. They can afford it.
They can absolutely
afford
it. And I'm
like, again, I'm assuming that all the corporate employees, everyone that works at WWE HQ, that works in the offices, HR, mm-hmm. you know, everybody, from Vince on down, I'm pretty sure they have a benefits package.
I think they do.
So I believe that they can. And I would roughly say there's, what, at least 1,000 employees.
Oh yeah, sure.
In the corporate realm, they can afford healthcare for 200 and some odd wrestlers.
Yeah.
Now I'm sure their premiums are probably through the roof because of, you know, their
wrestlers.
They're wrestlers and they yeah. all the risk and everything. But it still can be a barely just
yeah.
a drop in the bucket.
So the one final thing I really want to ask John Oliver to reconsider in his pitch, because this is the one thing that really bugged me mm-hmm. throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Listen up, John.
Yes.
We know you're listening.
So there's a point in the segment mm-hmm. where he shows Vince's face getting shoved into Rikishi's butt.
Yeah.
And
Rikishi.
Thank you.
Rikishi's in Lion King.
that's Rafiki.
Rafiki? I don't know who
Now we're both wrong.
I don't know who Rikishi is then.
But Vince is doing that.
Yeah.
Rock's shoving his head. And this is after the Stone Cold bedpan sequence and Shawn Michaels
kicking him
music.
And The Rock doing a trash can lid up against Vince's head.
And so what John Oliver says after that segment is, the great thing about this segment is you can fake getting kicked in the face, you can fake getting a bedpan in your head, but that's Vince's face going in a butt. Like, there's no way around that. You just got to do that. And Vince got kicked in the face, and Vince got hit with a bedpan.
Yeah. Like, because Stone Cold has said many times, like, I somehow had to find the sweet spot on that bedpan to make the right noise.
Yeah.
In order to do that, Vince's head had to make contact with the bedpan.
So, and we are in a world that knows wrestling is fake. That has no problem saying wrestling is fake. That is,
and if you weren't sure, Ronda Rousey will
will let you know. Yes. Yeah. But we are so much in this culture, as a general culture, not a wrestling culture, but in a general culture, we're so much to the point where wrestling is fake that it's gone so far to the other side that everything about it is fake. That's why you get things about, like, oh, they pull their punches. You can see the distance. Oh, it's all catch up. You know, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And they're all actors. And that is one of the biggest hurdles of, these guys need health care, and these guys need an off season, and these guys need their bodies taken care of because they're putting their bodies through hell.
They are professional
week after week after week after week.
Yeah.
And it says, no, they're just actors. Tom Cruise doesn't need that, and Chris Pratt doesn't need that. They're all, you know, it's just reading lines and doing fake stuff. And
except those, they do have insurance. Those actors,
I know
they absolutely
I
do.
I know they have
That's
insurance.
That's part of the reason why The Rock hasn't been on WrestleMania.
Yes,
because
I know
of,
they have insurance. I know they have off seasons. But this idea of these guys are just actors, and so these insane premiums would not be reasonable when they would be.
Right.
Except they wouldn't be because of healthcare issues, but that's a weird topic I'm not ready to get into on this podcast.
Sure.
But John Oliver saying things like, oh, that was faked and that was faked, and all the violence and all the action is faked, is undercutting that point.
Right. It almost makes it seem like they need healthcare less.
Yes.
Which, again, but, you know, I'm sitting there working behind a desk for 40 hours a week, and I have healthcare. So it does, honestly,
it's like, I understand.
Right.
I understand it was a joke. I understand what the joke is there. I don't think it's a bad joke.
Yeah.
And I
but you don't want to do anything to lessen the impact of your message.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of his segments, a lot of these deep dive segments open up with a, here's an unbelievable fact that you just won't believe. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
And his one for this one was, WWF had to change to WWE because they lost a lawsuit to the World Wildlife Foundation. And I was like, I know that.
Yeah.
That's not.
And didn't they settle?
I don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
Like, I'm fine being like, they lost because
they lost the name, so they lost.
Yes.
They lost their branding.
And that's a big thing for, you know, they were 40 years, 30 years old at that point. And so, but that, if that's the audience you're going for, that's going to be wowed by that factoid.
Yeah.
Any sort of, you know, hint that these guys aren't going through hell constantly, I think is detrimental to the point you're trying to make. And make no mistake, this is a persuasive argument that he's trying to make. This is not a show where you say, here are the facts, come to your own conclusion. It is a, these are the facts, this is what they mean, this is why you should think this and feel this way.
Yeah.
Which is fine, that's what the show is, that's what the show wants to be.
Yeah.
But you're arguing against yourself at that point, whether you intend to or not.
I agree.
So, all right, but that's
That's it for
moment.
That. Okay.
So we can actually talk about wrestling now.
Yes.
I'm so glad that they did this, and I understand why they did it the week before WrestleMania.
Right.
But, oh, man, it's a bummer for us.
It's a bummer for us because we have to pack it into this long episode.
Already long episode.
So next up, Monday Night Raw from this past week. I was there. I was in D.C. for a concert the night after, staying with an old friend from high school, and we went to I went to Raw, and man, that was the hottest crowd for WWE I had ever been to. I mean, clearly, like, it's the last one before WrestleMania.
Right.
It would have been disappointing if they weren't. And above all else, that crowd was all about what Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Ronda were up to. That entire segment, the crowd was loving every moment. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Personally, I love the segment. you know, like, anytime there are security people or quote unquote police officers, it's always kind of a joke. Like, you know, they're pawns to be kind of like pushed around.
Yeah.
So to have them do things like put two people they were arresting in the same squad car and like two people that were fighting each other,
put them side by side in the squad car.
Right. What did you think was going to happen? Every time you open a car door when someone else is in there, what were you expecting? They would, you know, especially Charlotte Flair. She's 75% legs. Of course she's going to come out kicking. Like, come on. And it was just like every second something else ridiculous was happening. Like, it just kind of outdid itself.
Yeah.
And again, that was me watching it live in the arena. I'm sure someone up watching at home, you know, had a different take.
I mean, no, it obviously played well.
Yeah.
I think I a little bit wish that it had resulted in somebody making Ronda Rousey take mugshots in a hallway.
Yeah.
That just would have felt very well, like, cathartic to me.
Well, yeah. During that segment specifically. Yeah. And not like her taking a dumb photo with a handwritten, you know, card to, oh, it's my mugshot. That's dumb.
Yeah.
The only thing, and I mean the only thing that entire night that sucked the energy out of the crowd was Baron Corbin.
Okay.
That main event.
You guys.
Specifically.
You guys.
They tried to keep the excitement because of Rey Mysterio out of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Rey Mysterio tried to make that match as interesting as possible. But he got injured over the course of that match. And it's Baron Corbin. Like, it just, everything about it just sucked the, and this is the last segment of their flagship show before their biggest event of the year. And I understand they wanted to end it on a high note for Kurt Angle because it was supposed to be his quote unquote last Monday Night Raw, if you want to believe that.
like old school Raws aren't a thing.
Right. But come on. If they had ended Monday Night Raw with that women's segment, completely different, like, take.
Yes, I think so as well. So this Baron Corbin, everything. Ever since, like the shaved head was a mistake. The suit I wrestle in now was a mistake.
I think it was okay when he was like in the manager role, but now that he doesn't, it makes no sense for him to still be wrestling like that.
The problem is he was never in charge of the show. He was always this intern, you know, general manager thing, which makes him the mini boss halfway through the level of everything.
Yeah.
He never rose above that point. He is now the ex mini boss. He doesn't even get to be that anymore. That's where Brad Maddox was.
Not even, because Brad Maddox was a GM.
Yeah. Well, Brad Maddox, he was a GM at a time where the authority was there every night. So, like, it always had that, like,
sure, I'm but in he charge. Still got the title. Like, he did still get, got, not a title, but he got the listing as general manager.
Yes, he did.
Now Baron Corbin is announced as the former acting general manager. Like, that's, yeah, like, calling someone a former interim head coach. Like,
yeah.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. There's nothing exciting about that. I thought he looked good with the lone wolf gimmick, the t-shirt and the long hair and the, and like, it was fine, but it was something. And I get that everything he did as that lone wolf gimmick has basically been up to 11 with Braun Strowman. Like, you're just doing minor Braun Strowman if you do that again. But what he's doing right now is just, it's Dwight. It's Dwight Schrute from The Office.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real threat to his authority. There's no real threat to him winning anything.
Right.
He's always the goofiest outlier in any team that he's in.
Yeah, and I understand, like, the idea of having the announcer list off all of his former accomplishments now when he's coming out to the ring, which is, I call it the Trevor Lee experience, because at any time that you're at a live CWF Mid-Atlantic show and Trevor Lee was on the card, usually the main event, the announcer would go through all of his accomplishments, and you might as well just sit down and like have a sip of pretty much everything. Like you can drink an entire glass of water if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like it is a long laundry list. But with Baron Corbin, it's like, okay, that accomplishment doesn't seem like much. That doesn't seem like much. That surely does. Like, come on, former Money in the Bank winner. Like, okay. But then just that reminds us of how badly he whiffed on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going for with him.
I
feel like they don't either. And any effort, you know, going towards building things with him, like it's. They adhere to it for maybe a couple weeks and then forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, because something else pops up or someone more important comes in. And there just seems to be no consistency other than him being awful.
And he wasn't awful. Like, he was always a heel.
Yeah.
And he had an uphill climb. Like, he started awful. I think most people will agree with that.
Yeah.
But he climbed into a nice little position for mm-hmm. himself. So this isn't me feeling like, I'm not trying to do this like, go away, you're terrible, you've never been great, I hate this.
Yeah.
But it's, go. You worked once, do it again.
And whenever he first got into the main roster, he would have like elongated feuds with the same person, like longer than it should have gone. And that didn't help things, like as far as like getting him any sort of heat or any sort of interest. And then, of course, like, you know, we just, you know, taking away anything that made him stand out,
yeah.
you know, with his ring gear or his hair or whatever, like taking all that at the same time didn't do him any favors.
And this whole feud with Kurt Angle is supposed to be this huge blow off of this massive feud that they've had over control of Raw. But Kurt was in charge of Raw mm-hmm. until he wasn't, and then he went away,
mm-hmm.
and then Baron Corbin was in charge of Raw for a while until he wasn't.
Like, it seems like such a long time ago that Kurt Angle left. And
yeah, but
I don't know if Kurt Angle was Kurt Angle ever actually fired as GM? I know they just, like, sent him off on vacation.
I don't remember.
And then he just came back dressed up as a conquistador.
But the point is, they weren't in conflict. There wasn't this like, I think this, well, I think this, and Stephanie's on my side, so mm-hmm. you suck. There's not the feud that this is supposed to be a payoff for never really happened.
Yeah.
And so it is really highlighting how much of a waste Kurt Angle's final WrestleMania match is, and that sucks.
Right. And which makes me like really hope that someone else is going to step in like as a surprise and that be Kurt Angle's real, which would kind of undercut and be like, all right, well, Kurt Angle, like, this is what he asked for, so why are we like going against his quote unquote wishes?
Yeah.
Or B, this isn't his last match and it will lead to something better.
Right. But I think that's a good way as any to go into WrestleMania. Oh, we got to do TakeOver first.
We do have to do TakeOver, but before we do that, I want to do this in the middle of the episode, so that way you guys can't cut off the episode early and not hear this later, because I know some of you sneaky turds are doing
Fellas. Good. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, you turds. I want to go ahead and talk about our stream that is happening. Well, I don't know if this podcast will be out in time.
It will be out in time.
Okay. It will be out in time. Joel has assured us that we have a stream going on tomorrow before TakeOver. NXT. We don't have a specific start time because basically Joel and I are both going to be rushing home from work. And basically as soon as one of us is able to get in front of, you know, the PlayStation, we're going to be streaming.
Yeah.
And we'll probably go until, I don't know, I want to say 6:30.
Yeah.
We'll probably go until 6:30. The TakeOver starts at 7 Eastern. All these times are Eastern because that's where we are. There's no real like specific directive that we're going to like a specific game type or anything. We're just gonna be messing around on WWE 2K19. It's gonna be me, Joel. Need to talk to Neil, see if he wants to come in. And you know, our friends are coming over for TakeOver, so people might pop in and out. So we're doing all this to raise money for Duke Children's Hospital. It's been our thing for the last year and some change.
Yeah.
So we're going to have all the information on where you can donate. We'll have it on our Facebook page. You'll hear exactly, you know, what our Facebook page and everything on our plugs. We'll give all that information out. You can donate during the stream. You can donate before the stream. You can donate after the stream. We're going to be doing stuff like this all year. And yeah, we'll hit our goals.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving on. NXT TakeOver coming up this week. It's on a Friday instead of Saturday, which is
interesting.
I think it's dumb, but whatever.
I mean, it's fine. It puts a little break between the wrestling, which I
do you think appreciate. That was? Do you think it was done so they wouldn't have to go head to head with the G1 Supercard?
Maybe that feels a little weird because I still feel like NXT is still WWE, and it
because WWE did make that move before the AEW announcement.
Yeah,
you know. Well, I feel like it was because honestly, like.
If I was forced to choose, I'd use NXT in a heartbeat. Like it,
right?
I mean, not an actual threat to me.
The loss of the All Elite cast has taken some steam out of the excitement over this event. Now it's still a huge deal. Like
it obviously
them going
is.
To Madison Square Garden and putting that show on is a huge deal and very very ballsy to do at WrestleMania weekend in the same city.
But I think no question. If you put those two up, I'm going to watch NXT live, and I'm going to stream the Supercard later.
Right. Like it's going to be watched no matter what.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that I don't know if that was done out of respect or out of nervousness of drawing people away from NXT.
I don't think so. I don't think they're there yet. I don't think WWE is there yet. Mm-hmm. If it happened, they might be caught off guard with, like, hey, where's the people?
Sure.
But it's still NXT on WrestleMania weekend.
It's still NXT, and you have 80,000 people in the city specifically for wrestling anyways.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to fit all 80,000 in the Barclays Center for NXT.
Yeah, I think
both shows are going to get sold out. Both shows are going to do very well. I don't know if G1's sold out, but it's going to do good business.
Right.
And WWE is not going to have any difficulty
I don't think they're going to say anything
gonna hit. So let's get on through the card. We've got the Fatal 4-Way match for the NXT Women's Championship. Shayna Baszler, our current champion, going to go up against Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Kairi Sane.
I am ready for Shayna Baszler to lose the title. I just don't feel like she's going to.
Yeah, like, it's really hard to specifically be like, this is when she loses the championship. Like, she's on a mountain on her own, and that's what happens when you've got a dominant champion on the show for that long.
Yeah.
I have a feeling if anyone's going to beat her, like, Kairi Sane has beaten her in the past.
Yeah.
Io Shirai, they might be willing to give it to. I would like to see Bianca Belair with the championship and see what she can do with it.
I can see that. I can also very much see Shayna Baszler not getting pinned.
Yeah.
And then basically stepping towards the main roster to kind of fill in, assuming that Ronda's going to be gone for a little bit after this.
Right. Until that day happens, I'm still going to pick Shayna Baszler.
That's fair.
Who are you picking?
I'm Shayna Baszler. Yeah.
I still gotta ask. You have the Velveteen Dream, your current North American champion, going up against Matt Riddle.
Velveteen Dream.
I want to say that because it does seem a little soon for Matt Riddle to be winning a championship. Because again, they haven't explored any sort of gimmick.
Yeah.
That's just him. That's Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Going up against the man with the most gimmick.
Yes.
But at the same time, WWE NXT wants him to be a big deal, so I could see him winning. And honestly, if Matt Riddle wins, then I think we can expect a Velveteen call-up.
Yeah.
Much to a lot of our chagrin, because we feel like he's going to get ruined on the main roster.
Yes, he's going to get ruined on the main roster. I can easily pick this one with my heart, because I very much care for one of these characters.
Yes.
And the other one is a black hole of enjoyment for me.
Yeah.
And I know that there are those who enjoy him. Like it's not me in the world against this one dude, but like I've said it plenty of times on this podcast, I got nothing from him.
Yeah.
And I will say what he is right now will not succeed on the main roster.
Talking about Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle, yeah. Yes. If you don't do something with him, he's immensely unlikable.
yeah absolutely.
And like, not even in I like to boo this guy kind of way, just like I don't care to watch this
kind of
way.
It strictly he's very talented, He's very talented physically.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
But from a personality standpoint, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And if people are going to, if people are getting tired of him on NXT, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Because usually, especially the Full Sail crowd, they pop for anything.
He is very talented, but there's a lot of very talented people.
Yeah.
Like it and if that's your biggest draw, it's a weird comparison, but it's like going on The Bachelor with your biggest draw being I'm pretty.
Yeah.
Like, cool. So is literally everybody else.
So, I mean, that
means
that they're going to be in the final four at least. But, yeah, they're probably not going to get the final rose.
Yeah.
I hate that I know so much about The Bachelor. I watched one season of it. Ugh. All right. So, you're choosing, you're going with a heart. Yeah. I'm gonna say that they have Matt Riddle win, and I don't like it.
I will not do that. I'm not ready to go there in my life yet.
Yeah. Let's go with the tag team championships. We have the War Raiders going up against Aleister Black and Ricochet, who have a very full weekend.
That's the weirdest championship or tag team.
It is, and they are the winners of the Dusty Classic.
Yeah.
Which is also weird. And honestly, like, more weird than Finn and Samoa Joe that first year, you know, when they won the champion, or they won the Dusty.
Well, I think it comes down to the Finn and Samoa Joe victory felt like this is a way we can catapult two guys at the same time.
Yeah.
And that made sense. Mm-hmm. This feels like we're going to make this a tag team. And I'm like, but why?
Because honestly, like, it wasn't until those tag team matches where Samoa Joe finally got his legs underneath him in WWE.
Yeah.
And it you know, then obviously the angle side of it really catapulted Samoa Joe.
I'm not quite ready to make this blanket statement, but I'm getting very close to the point where if you don't have a name as a tag team, if you're introduced as Wrestler A and Wrestler B,
yeah,
I'm not going to cheer for you because you're not a tag team.
I'm gonna have to find an exception that you cheer for.
Yeah, I don't think there is one. Like there's guys that I like who are in a tag team together, but I don't want them to be in a tag team. I don't want Shinsuke and Rusev, the tag team.
But what if they come up with a name?
If they come up with a name, I'll entertain it. That's what I did with The Bar.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm not liking this. I'm weirdly liking this. Oh, it's because you came up with The Bar. Like, right. That's fine.
Okay. Interesting. But yeah, there's no way the War Raiders are losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now.
And they have a name, so I'm going to cheer for them.
Sure. Now this is where it gets interesting because we have Pete Dunne defending his United Kingdom Championship against Walter, and I feel like this is going to be...
Do you think this is it?
This could be it, and that's a big deal because this is a 700-plus reign.
Yeah, I'm...
Or 700-plus day reign.
I'm ready for Pete Dunne to lose it because...
He's a big fish in a small pond right now.
Yes. Well, and so much of that reign is we forgot about it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it just gets worse.
Yeah.
Like, every time you do it, it just gets worse. He's...
Now, it helps now that, you know, they have a weekly show in the UK. But
it,
that
it
was
definitely helps.
A year or so after his initial reign began. Or might have been longer than that. It might have been 2 years.
Yeah, but he would go for months and months on end without defending the title on a televised show.
And it doesn't make him look weak. Look at Walter.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that man. Listen to the impact that most of his moves have on the opponent. Like, it is believable. There's no way to fake a Walter chop.
Yeah. Well, I know Pete Dunne's there every week. I know he's a super full-time wrestler.
He's a very hard worker.
But it has this same Brock Lesnar feel where he's the champion because he's a champion. He's always been the champion.
Right.
He defaults as champion, and so your show doesn't really have a championship to vie for at this point,
right?
Because of that,
yeah. And then the problem is who would take the title off of Walter? It would take an army.
Pete Dunne.
Probably Pete Dunne. I don't know if I want to pick Walter just because again he's been champion for 700 plus.
I'm fine. I'm gonna pick him because I'm ready for it.
Walter.
Yeah.
I'll go Walter. And then we have the two out of three falls match for the vacant NXT Championship. Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, Bebe. Do you think the loser of this match
gets called up?
Gets called up.
I will answer that question with another question. Mm-hmm. Did I hallucinate Johnny Gargano getting called up?
No, you did not. But the injury to Ciampa kind of changed things.
Okay.
Because he came up very much as part of the team with Ciampa.
Yeah.
And then they started the Dusty Classic, and then they were, you know, going to do another angle, uh-huh. and then he got hurt. So it feels like it was forever ago, but just the way the tapings kind of worked out. Johnny stopped going on the main roster shows whenever the injury happened to Ciampa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking okay. Adam Cole wins. Because I feel like, but then again, I'm okay with Undisputed Era coming up to the main roster, you know?
Do you think the whole Undisputed Era will come up if Adam Cole comes up?
I hope so. They are such an entertaining, fun to hate group.
They are. I'm also ready for, and this might all be a moot point when SmackDown and Raw have to be on separate networks and stuff, but I am ready for a faction that spans multiple shows.
Yeah.
I feel like you have the roster depth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since Nexus that we've had an 8+ member. And Nexus, I don't think, ever had 8 members other than that one night. I think then they had 7 or less for the rest of their time.
Yeah.
Until they went down to 4 and then maybe 2. I think they went down to 2 and then went away.
Yeah. You're saying that like all 4 members could be on both shows?
No, I'm saying...
Are part of the...
Well, I'm saying you call up Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
He's on there, but he's still part of the Undisputed Era. You make that a part of his thing. Mm-hmm. You could have them come out every now and then and support him in like the big matches.
Yeah.
You could have him be very excited and talk about how great the Undisputed Era is on Raw,
mm-hmm.
highlighting what the rest of the team is still doing on NXT.
Yeah. Because I was trying to figure out how they would split up. Like, would Roderick Strong go with him?
I don't necessarily need an even split.
Right.
But something that, like, do you remember when the Riot Squad and Paige and Friends debuted on the same week?
Yeah.
And you're like, this is a thing. And you're like,
yeah, we assumed it was some way connected, but they weren't at all.
But they were never connected. And then it kind of fizzled out to nothing on SmackDown. And so it is what it is now. But I am ready for something like that. I think that would be an ambitious yet very possible thing to successfully do.
Yeah.
And
I'll
so one option is, and this doesn't have to be it, but one option mm-hmm. is to have Adam Cole go up, mm-hmm. but he's still Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
He still wears the uniform. He still has the same
theme song. He still has the logo on all of his gear, yeah.
Yes. He talks about his success as the Undisputed Era's success.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have them run out and, you know, if he's in trouble, they run out, beat somebody up, and run away. And you have Cole being like, I didn't know they were here tonight.
Just like, I don't necessarily think Adam Cole needs the faction. I think the rest of the guys probably do.
Yeah.
Especially Roderick Strong, because on his own, amazing wrestler. And man, he's intense as anyone else during a match, personality-wise.
But he found a personality in the group.
Yes.
And
I don't want to see that.
Maybe he's gotten better. Maybe he has a personality outside the group now.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to risk it.
Exactly.
I ultimately think... I think I'm going to go with Johnny Gargano.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go with Gargano.
Okay.
I think they want him to kind of be the
face of the company.
The face of the brand. Because they are going through a transitional phase because Ricochet and Aleister Black were two of the top guys of the industry or of NXT. And I said, I feel like Undisputed Era is going to move up. I feel like there's a really good chance Velveteen Dream can move up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people leaving.
You got to
so you need stability, like Bailey was whenever the rest of the horsemen left. They need.
I think that's a good call. Yeah. You also have the chance to, if you need to go back to the Gargano Ciampa well,
right?
It's right there, and it's not a dry well yet.
It is. It absolutely is not. Just once. Ciampa's.
Healed. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
see
that's
the earlier part of the podcast.
There you go. Now that they like Ciampa's posting like videos of his recovery and everything, and mm-hmm. it puts him over really good as a baby face because it's got like his family. I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about liking this guy. I don't know.
All right, so this is the part of the podcast where we normally would be signing off. It's definitely been a full podcast now.
Yes.
But we have the largest card of the year to go through.
Dear Lord. Yeah, we've got this whole WrestleMania thing. It's real annoying.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's real annoying.
All right, here we go.
All right.
All right. Stretch. All right, we're going to go through this. Power through. Here we go. 15 matches.
There are 15 matches.
It's
taking me so long to scroll through the Wikipedia article, okay?
But I will say, because I checked, WrestleMania 4 still had 16 matches. It's still not the most matches.
Is that the one with the tournament? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why.
It might even have 17 matches, but it's still, like, it is the unbreakable record that I thought they were going for. I thought they were like...
Oh, sir.
Is there 16 matches?
The record has been met. They have added another match. I don't think they actually have officially announced yet.
Okay.
But it was in the WrestleMania program that fans are buying at Access, like, now.
Yeah.
I
do not have...
There is no indication on whether or not it's on
the pre-show?
Pre-show or what. But the pre-show, we'll go with the pre-show first. Same setup as last year, both Battle Royals and the Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
Which
I'm fine with. That's not a bad way to...
I'm fine with... I would like for the, and this is a real minor critique, I would like for the Cruiserweight match to be the match leading into the main show.
So you do the two Battle Royals. And
I mean, it's
the...
a Cruiserweight match. It can get the crowd pumped up.
Yeah.
You know? So the singles match for the Cruiserweight Championship, Buddy Murphy going up against Tony Nese.
Right.
I
feel like Buddy Murphy just because...
Yeah.
I think that...
I don't think there's any stopping him right now.
Well, there's no stopping him right now.
I don't think they've built up anybody.
They also...
Yet.
Yeah, they also don't have a reliable crowd for that show. And this is WrestleMania. It's when most people are going to be seeing it. And that's their big name. That's the name people recognize. I think that's the name people are going to default be cheering for, even if he's playing a heel in that match.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go with...
I think that's why, I mean, Cedric Alexander had the year of success was... He was the biggest name that people knew.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime he was on a
and
show.
He was the number one contender for so long.
He was. No, he deserved it. Yeah. He deserved his year of victory, but like.
So, but yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on Buddy Murphy retaining. We have the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. It's been 365 days. It's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year. Doesn't it kind of like intellectually offend you that they haven't come up with a name for this thing yet? Like, you had a year to name this after somebody.
Well,
or not even name any, come up with a better name than the, especially when you have the Andre, or you know, however you want to refer to it, like the armbar or whatever.
That's just you.
I think the Andre, I think it's a good name for it. Anyway, you have, it's weird for it to be like side by side The men's battle royal that has a name for it, and the women do not because they want to name it after a monster.
I say the thought process is Mae Young already has the classic named after her. Y'all didn't let them name Moolah, you big jerks.
Ooh, so sorry. We didn't let you name it after a predatory monster.
We're not going to name it after China.
They should, though.
And... That's it. End of options.
They should, though. You know why they should name it out of China? Aside from her being, like, Hall of Fame worthy and a trailblazer, she was the first woman to compete in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So, like,
I don't think China's...
As far as, like, a Battle Royal style match, trailblazer. Yeah.
But, you know, they're not. And that's the thing is, like, I think the attitude is, like, why bother trying at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know that there is a thought process. However...
far-fetched and nonsensical as it is, mm-hmm. is they didn't let us do Moolah because mm-hmm. of moral panic and outcry. We're not going to name it after a porn star.
Right. Now, I will say one thing, because I did mention like they didn't change the dumb trophy and it still looks like a uterus. They did announce that tonight, Thursday, they are going to unveil a new statue.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances it's female? Like the first female statue that WWE has. I feel like, especially this year of all years.
Okay, very.
I mean,
possible.
Obviously, it'll probably be like, yeah. it'll probably be Mae Young.
Mae Young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's what that. Yeah. If again, it's going to be the first one, it'll be Mae Young.
Because again, Mae Young, mm-hmm. Moolah, who you can't do anymore, and China, who they're not going to do. Like that's.
I feel like in time they will, because like even Triple H said, like eventually she's going to get inducted
into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she will. I don't know if Triple H will still be around for that.
He might.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think he's willing to get it done.
We'll see.
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's happening for a while. I think this DX induction is kind of like to...
placate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we got all right. the women's...
Come on, we got to do a card.
we're over 1 hour. People will stick... If they've stuck around this long, they'll stick around for the rest. Because that's the attitude to have.
That is not the attitude to have.
We all have right. the...
Don't name them all. There's a lot of them.
I wasn't going to. You keep stopping me.
All right,
that's
go ahead.
What. Okay.
I thought you were starting to read everybody.
No, it's not on there. Even like, if it was,
I was like, don't, because I know there's a whole nother one coming. I can't do that.
All right. Asuka, Naomi.
End of list.
End of list. Those are the only people that matter. We have the women's battle royal. Do they have Asuka win this to say, sorry, we had you lose the title 2 weeks before WrestleMania?
I mean, yes, that's stupid, mm-hmm. and like, here's your dumb consolation prize. But at the same time, I'm picking Asuka because...
Because she's the favorite. Like, who else would win? I think it would be hilarious in a painful way for it to come down to Lana and Lacey Evans, and then have Lacey Evans win.
Don't make me sad.
Yeah, you want to get the crowd fired up? You do that.
I mean, yeah.
Kidding, obviously.
I'm obviously picking Asuka because I'll pick Asuka for everything forever.
The Andre, the men's battle royal. I'm going with Braun Strowman.
Yes, I'm going.
Unless they decide to have one of the SNL jokers.
I'm going with Braun Strowman. The only story going into this is Strowman versus Saturday Night Live.
The only other case I would make would be Ali.
Yeah.
They still seem big on him.
I could see that. And I could see that because I could see Michael Che and Colin Joseph doing some sort of tag team move to knock Braun Strowman out.
Yes.
And that's the big comedy bit.
Right.
And then somebody like Ali wins.
Yeah. Since you're saying Strowman, I'll say Ali.
Okay, yeah. But I'm still going with Strowman because it's still...
Yeah, and honestly, like, if you hadn't said Strowman, I would have picked him.
Yeah,
it's
a big man's game.
It is a big man's game. All right, now for the match that they just randomly added. We have the Raw Tag Team Championship match, The Revival versus Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. The hometown boys getting a match on seemingly the main card.
That is not in my slideshow.
It is not. You still got a couple days, my friend. If you need, like, honestly, dude, it doesn't even have to be a full slide. If you want to do half a slide, because I know usually, like, you'll do, like, a title page as uh-huh. that, like, his match, and then talk about it. If you want to squeeze that all on one slide, go for it, man. Like, I ain't going to tell no one.
You're going to tell everyone. That's how the slideshow works.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say that, like, we don't care, so mm-hmm. Joel, like, you know, half-ass this this slide. That's what I meant. I am
not done with the slideshow yet.
Yeah, I didn't think you were.
I think we're at 54 slides and 4 matches done.
Oh my god!
I there is a very good chance we are breaking 100 slides this year.
I'm gonna need one of those like Camelback things to keep myself hydrated while I talk.
It's rough.
You understand? Like, I don't like talking, and that's funny because I'm on a podcast. Like,
That's what I'm saying. Next year, you're doing you're making the slideshow, and I'll present the slideshow.
All right, this might be, like, something that we talk, you know, off mic, but, man, we need to start earlier. Let's start it at 4. So give me a good hour to get through this.
I mean...
An hour, some change.
Yeah, we got that, plus, of the 4 matches that I've done,
none of them are Daniel Bryan and Kofi or the women's main event, which you know are going to be the big slides.
What is there to talk about? if it's not those matches, what is there to talk about any other match?
I will tell you, because I'm supposed to be keeping this a surprise, but I'll go ahead and tell you.
So I know what the matches are. It's not a surprise.
Triple H and Batista broke 10 slides.
I understand. There's a lot of history there. Okay. That's fine, I guess. Okay, so Revival wins, unless yep. they let the... Do they end Curt Hawkins' winless streak? And how badly would you feel about the Revival?
The only thing I can think is Revival has basically said, we're going to AEW, you right. can't stop us.
And they have been given assurances from Triple H that they will be the face of the tag team division.
No.
At least that's what we've been told.
I'm saying the Revival said, we're going, we're waiting out our contract, and they're saying, fine, you're going to lose to Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins at WrestleMania.
If we hadn't heard that WWE really wanted to keep them,
yeah,
then I would agree with you. But the fact that we've heard from a lot of sources that, no, please don't go anywhere, kind of, like, because the Usos also, like, just signed big, big extensions.
Yeah. No, I mean, I fully believe Revival's winning this.
Yeah. Got the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Got the Usos, Ricochet and Aleister Black, again, The Bar and Nakamura and Rusev. They just signed the extension.
Yeah, Usos. I don't know why you would not. Because, again, there's one tag. I mean, there's two real tag teams in there.
I would say, as much as you dislike, you know, them not having a name, I could see them giving this to Ricochet and Aleister. Although, I would like for nothing more than Usos winning this match, then Ricochet and Aleister Black are free to do their own thing. As singles competitors, yes.
That's the thing is, part of the issue with wrestler A and wrestler right. B is you're not elevating a tag team; you're shackling two wrestlers.
Yeah, and see that's the thing. Like they're not even a bad tag team. They work very well together, and there's a certain comedic element to their promos because you've got the forever optimistic kid in high school up against the emo drama student. Like,
yeah,
It's such a odd couple, but yeah, I'm ready for them both to do their own thing.
But one of the reasons The Bar worked was because they acted like they were forced to do this and didn't like each right, other. Like sure. That worked as a thing.
But they're both good guys. So they went along with it and they've been happy ever since. Well, Ricochet's been happy. Aleister Black's been simmering.
Yeah. So all right.
So we've got. I'm gonna go back up to the front. Yeah, we've got the Universal Championship match, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins.
I'm picking Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I will not be surprised if Brock Lesnar wins. You don't surprise me with that anymore.
No. Of all the opportunities for a title to change hands, I feel like that's a strong one.
Yeah.
I feel like it's time.
It's been time. It's long been time.
It's long been time, but, you know, Roman unfortunately had leukemia.
Yeah.
So
give it to Braun Strowman.
Right? Like, the guy has been a workhorse for the company in Roman's stead. So, like, yeah, give the guy a bone. All right, we got the WWE Championship match, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi.
Kofi Kingston.
I've got Daniel Bryan
really
retaining. Ooh. I mean, I would say, like, four of their top championships, but two of them are in the same match.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got two of the major championships changing hands. I don't know if they're going to go 3-for-3.
I think they're going 3-for-3. I think they're going 3-for-3 here.
I don't know.
You might be right.
And see, that's the thing.
They might have spent a lot of money on that vegan belt, and they're sure. Like, we're not going back to our real belt. We paid too much money.
Sorry. You may be correct. And there's a risk. Because Kofi, the crowd response that Kofi gets rivals only Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple weeks, up until the shenanigans, like the ridiculous segment from Monday Night Raw, up until that point, you could argue that Kofi's response was outpacing. Yes. So there is a real chance, because this match is not going to be the last match of the night, but there is a chance that if Kofi loses this match, the crowd turns on the rest of the show.
There is that chance. I think...
But I think Becky Lynch is, like,
I think Becky antidote. Can get it back. Like, yeah. I think that's fine. Becky's can get it back. Becky's the antidote. But I...
And so that's why I feel like they're going to have Daniel Bryan retain.
That is a bold guess, but I'm not going to make it.
All right, so you're saying Kofi. I'm saying
Kofi, yeah.
Daniel Bryan. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just going with what I know about this company.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
All right, we got the Fatal 4-Way Women's Tag Team Championship. Got Boston Hug Connection, Beth Phoenix and Natalya, The Iconics, Nia Jax and Tamina.
I see them retaining. Yeah. I saw them retaining a lot stronger when we had the possibility of the Four Horsemen all holding titles.
Yes.
Which has gone away now. But
yeah, now that it's winner take all in the main event.
Yes. But I still feel like the victory arrival parade is a viable ending, and so yeah. I think they're gonna keep the titles on the Boston Hug Connection.
I'm gonna go for the surprise.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the Iconics.
Okay, sure.
Out of all of them, they're the most real tag team.
They are the most real tag team out of all of them. That's absolutely
granted,
true.
You can make a, you know, Beth Phoenix and Taya were a tag team, even though there wasn't a tag team division back then.
Yeah.
I
think if Beth Phoenix hangs around, they could be a great tag team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would go a long way with solidifying the women's tag team division.
I will say, everybody that more so than most of the men tag teams that they threw together,
yeah.
Everybody feels like they could be a tag team.
Yeah.
Like the Tamina and Nia Jax monster team feels like it could be a thing.
Yeah. We just don't know because, like, again, Tamina is injury prone. We don't know how long that is going to last.
Yeah.
So I think that's might be their main reason why they're not going to get the championships anytime soon. I don't know. I like the Iconics. I like the kind of role they've been on lately.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with that. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Okay. So you remember a couple years ago when CM Punk was having his feud against The Undertaker, and we're like, CM Punk is doing another really awful thing. There's no way in the world he's going to win. Mm-hmm. The moment I knew Roman Reigns was going to win, aside from it being Roman Reigns, the moment Drew McIntyre said the words, "You may have beaten leukemia, but you're not going to beat me," that was the moment. Yep, there's no doubt in my mind. Roman's winning.
Yeah, Roman wins. This feels like a WrestleMania set up for feel good moments. That's why I have all the titles changing hands.
I think they've got to have one.
I don't know. I don't know if I mean, as we go through, but I don't know if I have any heels winning this year.
All right. Well, we'll see. And I feel like this one's pretty obvious. The Intercontinental Championship match, you got Bobby Lashley against confirmed Demon.
Demon Balor? Yeah, I'm not voting against Demon Balor.
Yeah. The match that's in the most, it's got the biggest question marks around it. The United States Championship, Samoa Joe, the champ, going up against Rey Mysterio, who did hurt his ankle in the main event of Monday Night Raw. This past Monday.
See, I'm going to go Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
They made the big deal about, like, his kid will be up front.
Sure. But, man, that doesn't... I would say that never stops Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
But usually that means Joe's losing.
Yeah.
Because Joe, like, this is the first championship he's won on the main roster.
But that plus WrestleMania, like...
Yeah. And it's Rey's first WrestleMania in a long while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though it might not be happening...
Yeah.
That's what I'm picking.
Because there's still rumor of a possible John Cena surprise. Would they have John Cena step in for Rey and then have... like? Because I've wanted a Samoa Joe versus John Cena match.
Yeah, but is John Cena going to win a championship? Like, I figured he'd be back to... He'll make a surprise appearance at WrestleMania.
If Cena comes back, Joe's winning.
Okay.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, Cena's going to make the big surprise, big pop, Joe's winning. Now... I did hear a very, very, very faint rumor with absolutely no weight in it whatsoever. But there are some people that think that there is going to be a John Cena Undertaker surprise match that will, and they're just like, oh, it will last longer than last year's match. Well, that doesn't take much.
Yes.
To
that I say no.
Because then they break the record of the most matches on WrestleMania.
Oh, yes, they do. If there's a surprise match.
That would be 17.
I think if there is a surprise match, it will be Elias is playing a song and John Cena interrupts him, and that's your surprise match, Cena and Elias.
Sure. Got AJ Styles versus Randy Orton.
I think I'm
going to go AJ.
Yeah, AJ makes sense to me.
Yeah, AJ makes most sense.
This is the closest I've come to being like, I need to pick a heel. I better pick Randy, but like, I could almost go Randy just because it's WWE versus any other wrestling history, and like I have the Sting and Triple H thing to be like, WWE always wins these narratives.
And again, I know nothing about how long Randy is going to be in this current run. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Randy will take a large time off, which, you know, he's been in the business for a long time. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I don't know what his contract status is. He's good friends with Cody.
Yeah.
This could be it.
Boy, that would
because they still have not announced what Cody's match is going to be at All or Nothing. And I don't know Randy's contract status. I don't know if he's anywhere close to his contract running out.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys where, like, if he asks for his release, I don't think WWE's going to give it to him.
Yeah, Randy would be a shocker if he appears. Mm-hmm.
But then again,
AEW.
If WWE looks at Randy and be like, "Where you can sit your contract out at home," and he's like, "Okay, cool, I got kids."
Oh yeah, he would sit his contract out at home.
Absolutely. I don't know if he ever has any interest in it, because he's really hammering on, like, the whole independent thing, the independent wrestler thing. Like, he's really hammering that home in this feud. And I'm just like,
That might be because this is his last chance to do it.
Could be. And again, I haven't heard that being rumored anywhere. That's just me
speculating.
But I got AJ winning. I think here's your chance for a heel
victory,
even though he never wins. Shane McMahon versus The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Because typically Shane doesn't win matches.
No, but also typically The Miz doesn't win matches.
I know. Herein lies the pickle.
We have the Stormtrooper shooting at the red mm-hmm. shirt.
And it's a Falls Count Anywhere match. There's a lot of room for shenanigans.
Yeah.
They could do the feel-good moment with Miz. Miz as a face is always a weird reaction from the crowd.
It is.
And this hasn't been any different.
I could give it to Shane, stipulating, pending. I've not heard anything about Miz's dad being in the crowd. If Miz's dad is in the crowd, I take it all back. Miz is winning. No questions.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just going to say Shane.
Okay.
Let's see. Next we got the... Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin.
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, Kurt Angle. Unless shenanigans. The no holds barred match. Triple H loses. He must retire. Triple H versus Batista. What do you think? Because, like, this is going to be someone's last match.
Yeah, and I feel
it's going to be Batista's last match no matter what.
I feel like Triple H will win mm-hmm. just because that's the thing that's never happened.
Right.
And also, that's a weird thing. Like, Triple H is going to be with WWE forever.
Yeah.
He's not, when he retires from the ring, he's still with the company.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's a weird stamp to put on that where you're like, now you can't wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they want that option mm-hmm. in their back pocket, even if they're not planning on him wrestling in the future.
Yeah.
That just seems like a weird thing to be like, this will not happen anymore.
Let's see. Does WWE have any shows going on in Saudi Arabia in the next calendar year?
Yes.
Two of them, right?
Okay.
Yeah, Batista's not winning this match. Triple H is going to be wrestling multiple times within the next year.
Okay, yeah.
So Triple H is winning. I mean, when there's money to be made, sir. And you got the main event: Ronda, Charlotte, Becky Lynch. Winner takes all. Winner takes both championships.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I've got Becky. There's no other way to end this WrestleMania than Becky Lynch holding up both titles.
Yeah.
Maybe with the rest of the four horsewomen. But honestly, I would like for her to be alone
titles.
This is that the moment that she's earned.
Yeah. This is the moment that WrestleMania 30 ended with. You've not had it in 5 years.
Yeah.
This is it. You have it now. You're going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no other correct way. Yeah. Now, we've got that all done. We are still going to do our way too early
predictions
that we have to do before the next Monday Night Raw after yes. WrestleMania.
Yeah, we will make the predictions before Monday. But the episode where we do our way too early predictions will be a few weeks away,
right?
Because we have to make it through WrestleMania,
post WrestleMania, and then the
following weeks.
Yeah, we basically we're going to wait for a slow week
yes.
for that. But just so you guys know, we are going to make our picks long before that episode airs.
Yes.
So we're not cheating.
I thought I was going to get a point this year. We all did, because we all thought Charlotte and Ronda was a guarantee, and Becky came and ruined it all.
I'm okay with her ruining that. I haven't looked through my picks. So. I need to.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We're going to be live tweeting all weekend.
All weekend.
So follow us there, interact, enjoy wrestling with us.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you your own thoughts on WrestleMania as it's happening, you can just send that all to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.